We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. Usually, every Monday, we start out with a Monday market update with Dave Spano. We're going to move that to tomorrow. So look forward to that with Dave tomorrow. We'll look ahead in the week. We'll peer into what's up with rates in Europe. We'll explore how Apple is going to impact our money this week, gauge what's up with food prices, all that tomorrow with Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Today, we are going to fly our city's flag and talk about the economics and the psychology of the city flag with Alderman Peter Bergelis, who will join us after the next break. And later in the show, the founder and operator of Octane Coffee will join us, fueling up your week with robot coffee, a really cool concept that's based right here in Greater Milwaukee and expanding quickly across the area. I was there yesterday. I'll give you my review, too, before we talk to Adrian. Two up, as we do each and every opening of The Upswing. What's in your wallet? And what did your wallet cost you? Now, I don't carry a wallet. Maybe you still do. Seldom do I even carry the things that are supposed to be in my wallet, like my license or a debit card or insurance card. I put all those on my phone. I do, though, have one of those like little binder clips that you buy at Office Depot. I put my business cards in that, so I guess that's my wallet. 144 binder clips, by the way, at Office Depot are only $19.99, so my wallet costs me less than a penny. But this at the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, really fascinating data. If you want to look at how Americans are doing, you got to look at their wallets, right? They have more money in the bank than we did in 2019, even if you adjust for inflation, and just slightly less credit card debt relative to income. Now, let's take a look at some of the data in this story. Money-wise, weekly pay is up 23% from 2019 to $1,151. Americans have carrying an average of $74 in cash in their wallets, and this is up from $60 in 2019. Bank accounts are up to a median of $3,091. In February, the median balance for the bottom quarter of earners was $1,160, and that's versus $8,143 for the top earners. That's the top 25%. According to J.P. Morgan Chase Institute, American savings rate was down 2.9% in July, less than half of what it was in 2019. Price of cars, obviously, the borrowing of money has shot up since 2019. The average annual percentage rate for a loan of a new car was 7.1% in August, up from 5.4% at the end of 2019. Mortgage rates, we'll talk about this a little bit when we come back. The average mortgage, $1,520, up 25% from 2019. What else? Discount retailer Big Lots has filed for bankruptcy protection and plans to sell the firm's assets and ongoing business in a court-supervised process. The retailer has secured commitments for nearly $708 million of financing in the form of a post-petition credit facility, according to the company. There are 12 Big Lots in the state of Wisconsin. And I thought this was interesting. Saw this in the New York Times over the weekend. This from Chris Waller, a Fed governor. He hinted at the possibility of a larger than half percent point cut later this month, saying that, quote, the current batch of data no longer requires patience. It requires action. We'll soon see how much rate changes are coming. We'll talk to Dave Spano about that tomorrow. But our next guest has some insight on that, including change coming to the city of Milwaukee Flag. Alderman Peter Bergelis joins us. This is The Upswing. It's Monday. Hope you're having a great day. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined in studio by Milwaukee 11th District Alderman, Peter Bergelis. Peter, thanks for taking time out of your morning. I know you got a busy day ahead of you, so I appreciate you spending some time with us. So first, you are a mortgage broker as well, which I'm sure you know really dovetails well with what you do day to day at City Hall. So let me just ask you this. Kind of if the economy is a roller coaster a bit, what part of the ride are we on right now? September is kind of always seems like this in-between month for rates and markets. Everyone's going back to school and tax planning a little bit. But where are homeowners and future homeowners on that ride?
Well, frankly, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
I'm happy to come by anytime. But from the mortgage perspective, I've been a lender for 20 years. And there's always a rush to finish purchases and get into that new house before school starts for families. But frankly, October has been my busiest month year after year in general, more so than June or July.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
But purchase transactions really, especially with the seasonality and the climate in Wisconsin, happened during the spring, summer, and fall.
And with a possible rate cut coming, everyone kind of getting their house in order, so to speak.
Well, and frankly, mortgage rates are already at a 12-month low.
Yeah.
We haven't seen rates this low since June of last year. And that's prompting people to pull the trigger. But you know, houses are a lot more expensive, and when you do the math for that monthly payment, a slightly higher interest rate with a much higher principal balance, that payment is a lot more than it used to be.
Yeah. All right.
But we're already refinancing people who have closed in the last year at higher interest rates to save on their long-term costs.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. So today, Milwaukee Common Council's Steering and Rules Committee will consider a resolution relating to the adoption of a new city flag that's sponsored by you, seeks to adopt the Sunrise Over the Lake flag, also known as the People's Flag, and have it instilled as the official City of Milwaukee flag. Personally, Peter, I love change, but you're probably still getting some people asking you, all right, why change this original flag that's rooted in the 1950s in Milwaukee?
Yeah, well, that why question was answered 8 years ago and 6 years ago when the Arts Board said, yes, we do need a new flag. The current city flag from 1955, I think, is a great time capsule of 1955 Milwaukee clip art. One of the images there is County Stadium.
Yeah.
And County Stadium was torn down we stopped using that 28 years ago. So, yeah, I do think it's time for an update. There's an Indian headdress. We don't do that anymore. That flag is a great representation of Milwaukee in the past, but it doesn't inspire and it doesn't look forward to the future.
Yeah.
What I see when I see the sunrise over the lake is the three rivers, the three original towns, Lake Michigan, the dark blue, and then the gold for our brewing history. But the important part of that flag is the sunrise. And the sunrise over the lake is a new dawn, a new day for our community, a new dawn, a new day for our city, where we're looking forward to our future, where we're headed, where we want to go, not looking back at 1955, where we've been.
Yeah.
Certainly important to respect and consider where we've come from.
Mm-hmm.
But a flag is a symbol of us moving forward.
Yeah.
And that Sunrise Over the Lake flag, I think since that contest in 2016 or 2017, it's been organically adopted by the community already. Where in town do you see that 1955 flag flown? Yeah. I've seen it in front of one house when I was out campaigning this summer. Or last fall, and I've seen it in front of one police station, District 3, and it's tattered and faded.
We have the People's Flag flying at the Sherman household, in addition to the American flag. So, sure. Hey, there you go. So, in terms of, And when we come back, I want to talk about the specific vote and kind of the next steps. But you've kind of been on a tour all August talking to constituents and people in and around the city. What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, the number one comment I get is, you want to have another new city flag? 80%, 90% of the people I talk to think that the Sunrise flag has already been adopted as the city's flag, official flag, because it's already out there everywhere. It's not been adopted by the city officially. We'll fix that with the committee vote today and the council vote later on in the month, and then we can move on to more important city business.
All right, Alderman Peter Bergelis from the 11th District of the beautiful city of Milwaukee, talking about change coming to the city of Milwaukee's flag. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, Monday edition, talking city flag to open the show. The current Milwaukee design, it's been criticized as cluttered and complex. It features, as the alderman was just telling us, various symbols that many find kind of unrepresentative of the city's spirit. We are moving onward and upward from that flag. 2004 survey from the North American Vexillological Association rated Milwaukee's current flag as one of the worst flags in the United States, ranking 147th out of 150. By the way, that is the scientific study of the history, symbolism, and usage of flags. So Alderman Peter Bergelis joins us. So Alderman, in terms of the Steering and Rules Committee today, when the vote happens, it's at 1:30 is the meeting. Talk us through that process. What are the specific next steps? Will you get any pushback? Kind of what, you know, give us the next phases of officially adopting the people's flag as the city of Milwaukee's flag.
Sure. So this is, I think it's item 6 on the agenda for the 1:30 meeting today. So
okay.
It might happen around 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock. But we'll have a brief presentation to kind of just get the committee members back up to speed on where this process has been and is now. We'll hear from John Gerda. We have a statement from Reggie Jackson. Steve Kotis, who ran the original contest, will be there as well. If there's public comment, the committee will listen to public comment. There might be some debate or discussion or statements from committee members or other alders. And then the committee will vote.
Okay.
And assuming it passes committee, it'll be in front of the entire Common Council at our next regular meeting, September 24th. The legislation says that the flag will become official January 31st, 2025, which is the city's next birthday.
Hmm.
So I thought that was gives us a little bit of time to get those flags ordered and put in place and have a little celebration at the city's next birthday.
Very good. All right. So what are the costs involved in changing the flag? I mean, is it mainly process and procedure, or how many flags have to be changed throughout City Hall?
You might be surprised. There are a few hundred city buildings, schools, fire stations, police stations,
okay,
libraries, but very few of them have a city flag, or at least fly it. If we were to buy a flag for every single location, yeah, that would be expensive, but we really don't need to do that. There are about 17 or 18 official city flags, mostly within City Hall, in the mayor's office, in the Common Council chamber, et cetera. That there is a cost associated with that. A couple thousand dollars is what was estimated. But if we were to go and replace all the decals on every DPW truck and police car, yeah, that would be crazy expensive and absolutely unnecessary. But now when we replace our fleet slowly, we can update those decals, update the images and graphics for the city, and take it one step at a time without any additional burden on our budget.
So it's a process that's still being put together. This isn't a huge investment in finances for the city. This is a process to make the new flag official.
I think it's an investment in a statement where the city's headed, where we're going, and without a financial burden that the city, frankly, can't afford.
All right. Just looking at the 3x5 people's flag that flies in front of our household, $55, not too bad, you know? And then you can buy a really good quality American flag for even cheaper, kind of direct if you go through Edler flag, you know, locally based here, $45.65. So, you know, buying a single flag, a pretty easy investment. And frankly, I think everyone should fly the American flag and the people's flag in front of their home, even if you're in a suburb of Milwaukee. Let's all come together. This is a rallying cry for the official unity of the entire greater Milwaukee area. So the costs are covered. We're moving forward. What else is on your plate for the rest of the year, Peter?
There's a lot coming. We're still talking about a ski mask ban and some housing policy updates. But the big thing coming to the council in October is the budget. Mm-hmm. So the mayor will announce his proposed budget at the end of September. Then the finance committee will sort through that during the month of October, and the council will come back in early November and adopt it. Budgets are value statements, and the city has a $1.7 billion priority list, and not everything's going to make it. But the change in sales tax is going to help, mm-hmm. but it's certainly there's still a hole to fill and tough choices to make.
Milwaukee Alderman Peter Bergelis joins us. Today, the Common Council's Steering and Rules Committee will consider a resolution to adopt a new Milwaukee city flag. I appreciate your time, Peter.
Thanks for
Enjoy
having
the
me.
Rest of the week. Coming up next, robots and coffee. Octane Coffee is expanding in the area. We'll tell you all about it. WTMJ News Time is 10:30. ABC News is next.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Black, black, black coffee in bed. The stain on my nose. Coffee in bed.
Welcome back to the Upswing. Where'd you get your morning coffee? How much did it cost? I'm going to go to yesterday because I had a really nice, beautiful, scenic drive out to Waukesha. Peaceful Sunday morning. Downloaded the Octane Coffee app. Drove through the robotic-inspired coffee place. $2.90 plus that 14-cent tax. It went to $3.04 for a 16-ounce coffee right out there on Redford and Westwood, right by that K1 Speed indoor kart racing track. We're going to talk a whole lot more about robot coffee, though, because the founder of Octane Coffee is on the line. Adrian Deasy joins us this morning. Octane Coffee, growing quickly, expanding, and based right here in Greater Milwaukee. Adrian, how are you this beautiful Monday?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's say, you know, until kind of the rise, especially in the last year or so of all these AI tools, for most of us, kind of from a pure consumer standpoint, robots directly performing services kind of seem like the science fiction stuff, right? You have Roomba vacuum cleaners. You have obviously robotics in manufacturing all over the state. But having robots kind of serve our everyday needs still kind of out there for a lot of people. Self-driving taxis, you know, truly commonplace in a lot of markets. But robots in our restaurants, we don't see a ton of, at least here in the Midwest. But a robot serving your morning coffee, you've changed all that. Talk to us about your background and kind of how you came up with the concept for Octane Coffee.
Yeah, so I am a mechanical engineer by trade. Okay. I was at UW-Madison from 08 to 12. I ended up working for Chrysler after school, and my experiences there were primarily like all manufacturing focused. We were launching the Dodge Dart at the time. I ended up moving on to an aerospace company, and then most recently it was rubber and plastic injection molding for my kind of professional career as a manufacturing and mechanical engineer. All of these places were struggling to find people, adding automation, whether it was custom machines, full robots, replacing tasks that people were already doing, or just kind of cradle to grave, start to finish automation. This is what I was seeing at Chrysler. So, no, my background has primarily been in the engineering and manufacturing fields. Ended up jumping off and starting my own consulting firm where I was building these custom robot cells, custom machines, tooling, fixtures, jigs, mainly manufacturing focused. And that's kind of where Octane Coffee spun out of. We saw the necessity for a machine like ours And basically, we thought we were still 5 to 10 years off into this fully automated start-to-finish future, and that we were going to have to drag people kicking and screaming into that future. But then, obviously, as we get into it, we start building things. This is late 2018, early 2019. Yeah. COVID hit pretty soon after. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden, the world zoomed to our vision of this no lobby, no bathroom, contactless, no employees on site. Like, people just wanted to grab their drinks and get out of there. So we knew we were onto something at that point, and we really doubled down and focused in on that vision that we had was going to be commonplace now. And if you don't have that level of technology, you're not going to be able to make those sales and continue growth.
So
we refocused through 2020 and ended up raising some money from local investors.
All right.
And so that money was basically used to launch the first location. So we had a couple follow-on rounds, a couple things after that. So to get to that very first location, opening, selling coffee in Waukesha, kind of spring 2023, I mean, that was, hey, maybe we should do this. The earliest genesis was probably back in 2017, 2018. Of just, hey, mm-hmm. what's out there technology-wise? People are already carrying around a cell phone, but we saw Starbucks, Caribou, Dunkin' Donuts, packing up drive-thrus here in the Midwest. And we thought, okay, they're onto something. Yeah. The coffee's not great, but at least you know what you're going to get.
Right.
But no one, like, who's got 20, 30, 40 minutes sometimes in big major metros to sit there and wait for drive-thru coffee in the morning? It seemed like there had to be a better solution. And we basically set out to go do that and create that solution.
So your first location opened in March of 2023. You have a second location proposed in the town of Brookfield that I want to have you walk through that expansion and kind of what are the next steps there. But also, no employees. And I want to have you, when we come back from the break, Adrian, talk about kind of the sales volume and projections. It's kind of hard to change people's coffee habits, but I want to see what you've found and how you get them hooked with robotic coffee. Adrian Deasney, the founder of Octane Coffee, joins us. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Adrian Deasy, who is the founder of Octane Coffee, all robotic coffee all the time. In California, this robotic arm has been making drinks at a San Francisco at the international airport since 2021. Seattle has similar startup coffee entities, ones that have raised millions of dollars in automated cafes. But right out in Waukesha and soon in the town of Brookfield, Octane is serving coffee. So, Adrian, talk us through the technology and the process that happens inside the facility as we drive through.
Yes. So, typically, customers order exclusively through our online mobile ordering app.
Okay.
You can order from home. You can order from work. You can order on the go. We have people that order from Chicago as they're driving up, some of our investors. We ping GPS and we figure out, okay, how long is it going to be until you're approximately at our location? We line up production of what's in queue already, as well as how long it's going to take to make your order. So we're going to release it right as you're about 2 to 3 minutes away.
Okay.
The robot is exclusively inside handling the cups. So basically, he is moving things around to the various stations, getting cups, syrups, ice if you need that for your cold drinks, cold brews. We've got espresso drinks on tap that are pulling milk from a commercial fridge, as well as some black coffees. And we've got juices, teas, other cold brews and stuff, kids' drinks in our, we've got a fridge the robot is able to pull from. But he is basically setting that drink in the window as you are just pulling up, 5 to 10 seconds ahead of time, for you to pull out your phone, you grab your QR code on your receipt page, scan it at the window, grab your drinks, and drive away. So we have regular customers that are barely tapping the brakes. They're literally in and out in 10 seconds or less. So we like to tout this as the world's fastest coffee drive-thru.
And it's interesting that there's a level for cars, and then there's the level for trucks, too. So you don't have to, you know, you can put your arm right out of the car and grab the drink, and you don't have to, you know, go up or down based upon how big your car is.
Yeah, no, so normally at most drive-thrus, there's a human there, so they can accommodate a big jacked-up truck or a low rider and anywhere in between. But so we don't have a person. We've got to figure out other ways to accommodate it using technology. So like you said, you've got that option in the cart.
So what are some of the key challenges you foresee in expanding to new locations? Is it finding the right spot in the customer base, or are there approval concerns within villages of doing all automated restaurants?
Yeah, so the business, so Octane Coffee, it's coffee with robots. How hard could it be? Well, really, there's a bunch of different pillars that we have to be good at. Obviously, the hardware and the software. We've got to make a good product that works reliably 24/7, 365. We've got to have good software for our monitoring as well as the customer experiences and making sure that the product coming out when it's supposed to. We've got to work on commercial real estate. So that's a big focus of our next, say, 5 years or so of growth, where we are competing very actively against a Starbucks, a Dunkin', a Caribou, a Scooters, a 7-Brew, all these other kind of cute concepts that have rapidly, and this is a post-COVID world, almost all of these locations are popping up with drive-throughs. They're really focusing on smaller footprints and squeeze down and drive-through efficiency. So we were already on to that. Obviously, like, that was our vision from the beginning, but no one has been able to compete with us in terms of size. So we are 160 square feet. It is a 20-foot shipping container, actually used as the housing. So we build all the industrial robotics, the refrigeration, the coffee machines themselves. All the equipment is a pre-built indoors unit. We pick it up, we move it on the back of a flatbed truck, and we drop it down on the installation location. So for us, it's a tiny, tiny square footage building that we can prefab here in the Milwaukee area.
So the proposed building in the town of Brookfield, what is your time frame there, and when do you hope to be open in Brookfield?
So we're actively working with landlord over there as well as the town of Brookfield Council to get things approved and ready to go for, fingers crossed, shovel in dirt by November 1st of this year. So we're hoping to have the location build, like the physical site build, utilities, concrete, asphalt, whatever, takes about 2 to 3 weeks. It's okay. Really, really fast for what we're doing. The hardware, so our building, the Octane Coffee hardware, the robotics, the coffee makers, everything for our next store is actively actually on our floor in our manufacturing facility running through R&D phases as we speak. So we're running coffees off the equipment, getting ready to shift it over off the floor into its new container by the end of this month. And that's the container that's going to ship down the road and become the next location. So now we're actively working with Town of Brookfield to have that open and selling coffee, perhaps even in 2024.
All right, Adrian Deasy, Octane Coffee now open in Waukesha, coming soon to Brookfield and places, I'm sure, around the state of Wisconsin and more. I appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Finally, since we're on a local theme today, a friendly reminder to support your local restaurants and steakhouses. So this from the weekend from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and also saw it on Facebook. A Waukesha steakhouse and supper club has closed with its owner's retirement. The longtime supper club that serves steaks and seafood and just this kind of really kind of beautiful ambiance inside a 19th century Greek Revival style building for nearly 30 years, closed its doors last week as the owner retired. You know, that's the circle of life, right? But owner Eric Holm opened Eric's Porterhouse at 229 Wisconsin Avenue in 1997, right inside a building that had its start in 1848, according to the restaurant's website and the Milwaukee Business Journal. The restaurant announced its closure on Facebook, saying last Tuesday that Holm would be retiring. Said Eric would personally like to thank his loyal customers for 27 years of patronage. We have served our last steak, the Post said. The announcement generated, I took a look at it on Sunday, had more than 125 comments of support. Congratulations from customers and fellow business owners in the area, thanking Holm for his time operating the supper club in the community. Places don't last forever. People retire, places close and move on, but we have to remind ourselves each and every day to support local institutions that we care about. For what it's worth, a USDA center cut 12-ounce filet from Eric's was $52, and the 8-ounce version of that steak is only $44, and both came with a house salad and potatoes. You don't get that full like experience anymore. $50 for a 12-ounce filet with a house salad and potatoes. That's how they did it out at Eric's. Tomorrow on the show, Dave Spanos, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, opens. We got a lot of things to talk through, including how Apple's announcement today will impact your wallet down the road. Finally, did you go to a high school football game this weekend? You probably did, and you kind of wondered, all right, you look back to April and what Wisconsin was considering in terms of name, image, and likeness, NIL, possible payment for high school athletes. Bloomberg today, high school NIL deals can level the playing field. A whole op-ed based upon a player in North Carolina whose mom says that the family claims he's been recently offered deals, a high school five-star quarterback now, offered deals more than $1 million to license his name, image, and likeness. But there's a problem, according to Bloomberg. In June, North Carolina's Board of Education, concerned about the team's chemistry and enforcement, reversed their earlier policy that allowed high school NIL deals to pay players. So this quarterback's mother recently sued the board over restrictions, claiming that it exceeded its authority to regulate these sort of deals by doing away with them. If she wins, North Carolina is going to join 38 states that allow high school students to monetize their name, image, and likeness. Some to keep an eye on, especially as high school football kicks off across the state of Wisconsin. Maybe gone are the days when young athletes were expected to play high school sports for the love of the game. Are we moving towards paying high school athletes? Keep an eye on that, and we will do the same here on The Upswing. This is it. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. Coming up next, Wisconsin's Midday News.